Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Joshua, chapter 13. And in this chapter, there are 33 verses. And this chapter has to do with Joshua getting old, and a lot of the land had not yet been occupied by the Israelites. And the Israelites never did really occupy all the land that the Lord had commanded them to take over, and the Arabs are have been a thorn in their side ever since, because they didn't do what the Lord told them. And you can see the tremendous conflict over there now. Arafat is on his deathbed right now, and it's all over the news. I sometimes tune in, haven't for a long time, and they're expecting him to die any minute. But still, there'll be somebody new take over, and with the same plan. They've conned their little children into hating Jews, and to the point to where they actually even will strap bombs onto themselves and blow themselves up. This is terrible that people can be so brainwashed, brain damaged by these cults and these cultish religions such as Mohammedism, which is a definite offshoot of the Vatican. And this is provable by a book written called The Prophet, which was is actual documentation from the Vatican. But much of the land had not been occupied by the people of the Lord. And so therefore their heaven, supposedly heaven on earth, was not heaven on earth, and is not heaven on earth to this very day. But the Lord is not going to allow the same thing to happen in the kingdom of heaven, because he's weeding out the wheat from the chaff. And he states that in the end of time that the angels shall reap the people of the Lord and take them up with them, and the rest of the people on the face of this earth that have not been won to the Lord, including the great falling away of people that were former Christians, they will be burned up like chaff, because they, instead of getting busier as they see the signs of the Lord accelerating, as they see the great falling away of the church, they become lethargic. They don't get out into the streets and preach the gospel as the Lord did. Most people feel today, if you're not on television, that you're not of the Lord. But the Lord's had what you call open-air ministry. He was on the streets, on the highways, on the byways, up in the hills and in the mountains, preaching the gospel. And that's where the real gospel becomes effective, is when you're on the street. And we've been on the streets, you know, ever since I've been saved, which is around 40 years now. We have a street ministry, and some people look down upon that. If you look down upon the open-air street ministry, well, then you're looking down on the ministry of Jesus Christ himself, because he rarely preached inside a church, but he preached out on the streets. Now, the people, very few people, I don't know how many channels are. There's probably two or three hundred television channels, and a lot of people, they don't even watch religious programming at all. But when you're on the street and you're facing people face to face and you're handing them a piece of literature, they have a tendency to believe that you're real, that you're a real Christian out there, because they can see you taking flack, they can see you exerting yourself, doing something. And so if you really want to be in the ministry of the Lord, you can't just do nothing or just desire to be on television. It's all right to be on television, but usually those people are just ministering to other Christians. They're not getting to the lost souls, the sinners out on the streets. And that's where we won all of our souls. And once the people stopped going out on the streets, that's when the ministry will shrivel up and die. But we want to make sure that when you go out on the streets, that the gospel that you're preaching is the true gospel. People are not getting any younger every day. It doesn't make any difference how young you are. You're still getting older every day, every second. Every minute of the day, you're getting older and older. And so what you're going to do for the Lord Jesus Christ is what you're going to do in this world. You will not get a chance to come back as another person, another creature, or another animal like so many people think. There isn't anything that you can do for God after your life is over with. What we did is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And so you're not coming back again. I could get into the doctrine, the false doctrine that of reincarnation, but there is no such thing. They say, well, we took people into psychiatrists or into medical doctors, they gave them some sodium pentothal, and they started talking in other languages. Please believe me that when the people do that, that is not them speaking another language. It's demons that are living in them, and the people are talking the demon that was in some Chinaman or some Japanese person or some Russian left the body and went into another person. And then when they're in their subconscious, when they're unconscious or semi-unconscious, they'll start speaking in another language. Those are also truth serums, too. You can give a person sodium pentothal, and if someone has been lying to you, they'll start telling you the truth. They just can't help telling the truth when they're under sodium pentothal. They just say whatever really they believe in their heart and in their minds, it just comes blurting out of them. And if you record them, they say, yeah, it's true. I did really feel this way about you. It's amazing how many people have been under sodium pentothal when they're and they started cursing the very person that they were telling that they loved them. I love you, baby, when they're wide awake, but then when they're there, they say, you dirty, filthy, and they start saying those things. Those are their true feelings. And the demon or demons that are in them will start talking, and many of them will start speaking in another language. And so don't believe in reincarnation. It's just a real bogus pipe dream. It's these things, these demons talking are absolutely true. It's one thing I didn't believe before I got saved is that demons talk. And one of the signs that you know that it's the end time is that all these false doctrines are coming out, and all these false religions, and they are, you can see the false doctrine coming out just like waterfalls or like demonic fire just coming out of television, and people are believing them, and they're believing it to their own destruction. They feel that it really hurts we, the Christian, when they say evil things in regard to us or to the doctrine of the Lord. But all they're doing is hurting themselves, because we're saved. And, you know, you can listen to these supposed to be what comedians, they're not funny at all to me. You hear them saying that people should use common sense rather than the Bible. There isn't any more sensible doctrine in the whole world than the Bible. This is the Word of God. And how some prankster or clown thinks that it's funny to say that their doctrine is more credible than the Word of God. It's to me, I just look at them knowing you know, unless God somehow supernaturally saves their soul, that that person is going to burn in hell. If they were to die that second, they'd be right straight in the pit of hell. And you see them making scripts up in Hollywood that are saying they hate God because he took their son or their daughter or somebody. Don't blame God for what the devil's doing to you. And you start cursing God, you're not going to want to face him. But the thing is that you're going to face him whether you like it or not. If I were you, I'd be fearful of the Lord, and I would keep his commandments because that's the whole duty of man. But anyway, let's go up to the throne of the Lord and realize that we're living in the end days where you wouldn't see all this blasphemy going on. These are the signs of the time, the signs of the Lord coming back to earth again. And you see so many Christians that are falling away to these different variety, the hundreds of varieties of filthy doctrine on earth today. And so the time is growing short. The earth is waxed old like a garment and is refusing to give it strength. And there's only a few hours of daytime left. And the Bible tells us that we should, while it's day, while there's still an opportunity to preach the gospel, do it, because pretty soon the night time comes where no man can preach. Have you got that scripture handy?
Yes.
Okay, could you read it for us, please?
Yes. John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day.
This is Jesus talking. Amen?
Amen. The night cometh when no man can work.
Yeah, the night's going to come. It's going to get so vicious where the word God even is forbidden by the secular one-world satanic government that you won't even be able to preach the gospel or even say the word of God out in the open. You won't be able to preach it. So we must be zealous. That's what the Lord says in the book of Revelations. Be zealous or else I'll spit you out of my mouth, because you know you're not distributing the word of God with zeal anymore. You've lost your first love. There's no desire in you to win human souls. It doesn't make any difference to you whether people are dying or going to hell, or if people are hungry, or if children are being abused. As I said the other day, that we've just given thousands of dollars to the Children's Hospital, and also thousands of dollars today to starving children over in Africa. You can just see them dying, little children and so on. And people are spending money on their wardrobes, and they've got too many clothes in their closet right now as it is. Too many pairs of shoes, too much of everything, too much food. And they could watch something like that going on and not just switch channels or something and not do anything about it. We support hundreds of do-good type ministries, and some of them are not ministries. They're like hospitals and clinics and places like that, and orphanages, and old folks' homes. It isn't just the children. Every person on earth has a child there. They're like children. We get old so fast, our bodies do, but inside of every human being is a little kid. And it just really grieves me every time I see a old person, a person that's old, which they consider they've only lived for maybe 65, 70, 80 years, something like that, which is like a drop in the ocean. And they still remember their youth when they were little children, and remember when their mother and dad was just patting them on the head and everything, and here they are starving to death and nobody cares anything about them, especially mothers and dads that have taken care, given birth. The mothers have given birth to children, and they just put them in old folks' homes, and they don't even care anything about them. They don't visit them or anything like that. I believe those kind of people, if they don't repent, are going to roast in hell and in the lake of fire. So read that again.
Okay. I must work the works of him that sent me.
Yeah, you have to go to rest homes now. Because it's daytime, we can still go to rest homes with the gospel. And those people are lonely. And you bring them something to eat, or it's an apple, an orange, some bananas or something. For every one of them, and this ministry does that sort of thing. We support. It isn't that we have supported. We have supported and still support ministries or do-good organizations that we see doing some good. Because a lot of churches don't do any good like that whatsoever. And there's some people that are not even saved, and they are doing more good, like this children's hospital over in Little Rock. We see people, they treat children, whether you have money or not. They treat the rich, and they treat the poor. And this is something that people should support, because it could be your little child or somebody that would be going there. I know that there are many people that, and they have helicopters, that helicopter children that are near death. And this was your little child. I'm sure that you would want somebody to treat your child, even if you didn't have money. Just because you don't have money, they would refuse you. This is the most sickening thing on the face of this earth. And so we need to get behind all these benevolent organizations that, whether they're saved or not, if you really know that they're doing a work towards humanity, because God created everybody, all the little children, and He created every human being. And we need to show the love of Christ to these unsaved hospitals so that they can see that, hey, they're not just supporting their work. They're taking thousands of their dollars from their church and coming over here and putting it into our hospital and putting it into our orphanage and putting it into our old folks' home, and they bring bananas and apples and something for these older folks to, and maybe some vitamins or whatever they want. Whatever they want. I mean, they need it. And we bring in primarily the gospel to them, because when we go to that hospital, I witness and testify to them, and no matter who it is. And if they just throw me out of there because I'm preaching the gospel, or if they want to believe some of the smut that they've said about us, that we abuse children, they're out of their mind. How, we love children more than any of them, enough to dig that deep into our pockets, whatever we have, and give it to them so that they can treat these little children. If anyone ever abused a child in my church, they wouldn't be here. And I know about it, they will not be here at this church. I love little children, and I love the human race that the Lord has called me to preach to. And there's just that's the work that we're to do, is to be concerned about human beings' souls. And if you don't extend yourself in that manner, they're not going to believe you're a Christian. If you can just sit there fat and sassy with your fat pocketbook and not do anything. And I read a list. Wasn't it yesterday that I had you read a list of the different people that we support? We can't support the entire hospital. There's one man that donated $8 million to just one of the wings there. And I said, well, we spend quite a bit of money in the ministry, and maybe $1 million a month, $500,000 to $1 million a month, or sometimes more. And we just don't have $8 million, but we've got thousands here that we can give you. And, you know, and they just really were happy to receive that. You know, and I'm sure they'd receive $5 and $10, you know, if you wanted to do something for them. And also these missions where they feed people that are on the streets, the homeless and all that. And we distribute to them. We have trucks. You know, we distribute hundreds of thousands or millions of pounds of different food and clothing and all sorts of things to people that will take the time to dispatch these to the people. Where there's lines of people. They're hungry, they're poor, they're cold out on the streets, and they don't have a place to live. And we actually have build houses for them over where they're just living in squalor, brand new houses. All right, so, but anyway, this is the work of the Lord. The Lord does that. He likes to heal people, and we have the formula, we have the Word of God that will heal human beings as well. I would love it if these hospitals would turn us loose in those wards where we could really get them healed, but then, you know, a lot of them are so greedy, some of the hospitals, that they'll throw you off the lot if you go in and try to heal the people, because if you heal them, they won't have any more business. Amen?
Amen.
If you pray for them and the Lord heals them, then they're out of business. So they don't want real, strong Christian believers in there. They put them out of business. Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you anoint this chapter, and we parallel it with the coming of the Lord. Joshua's growing old. He's a prophet. This is a man that experienced one victory after the other victory after the other victory because he listened to you. He feared you. If we keep your commandments, for that matter, if anyone keeps all your commandments, and if they have the Spirit of the Lord in them, which enables them to keep your commandments, then all the blessings are there. Salvation, healing of every kind, victory over everything, and also prosperity and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and all the gifts and much, much more. Being heirs and joint heirs with you and everything that you have, all the planets throughout the universe and the kingdom of heaven, not just the New Jerusalem, but the kingdom of heaven is longer than 1,500 miles one way, 1,500 miles the other way, all four square, 1,500 miles, and upward 1,500 miles. Lord, open the spirits and souls of everyone to receive everything, and let everything that's being done here on this tape be directly from your Spirit, from your throne in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right. Chapter 13, Joshua, verse 1.
Regarding Joshua's growing old and so much more of the land had to be conquered. King James Version, verse 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed.
Yeah, the whole world nowadays, amen?
Amen.
The Lord, it's the Lord's earth, and he wants his people to possess it. All right? It was taken by default, by lies, and now he wants us to occupy it. He wants his will done here on earth as it is being done in heaven. And if you're not bold to do it, he says the bold, the righteous, take it by force and violence. Not in the sense that we see violence on in movies and things like that, but to take it by force, by the Word of God, and violently preach the Word of God with zeal. That's what that means. We are not to use carnal weapons at all. All right, then what?
Verse 2. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines and all Geshurai. Verse 3. From Sihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron northward, which is counted to the Canaanite, five lords of the Philistines, the Gazathites, and the Ashdothites, the Eshkalonites, the Gittites, and the Ekronites, also the Avites.
Right, the Philistines are still there to this day. Still to this day. Do you know who the Philistines are? Starts with a P.
Palestinians?
The Palestinians, right. They never did them in. Okay, then what? And look at the trouble they're causing. Amen?
Amen. Verse 4. From the south, all the land of the Canaanites and Meara, and Meara, that is, beside the Sidonians, unto Aphek, to the border of the Amorites. Verse 5. And the land of the Giblites and all Lebanon toward the sunrising, from Baal Gad under Mount Hermon unto the entering into Hamath. Verse 6. All the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon unto Mizrath Bath Maim, and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. Verse 7. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance unto the nine tribes, and the half tribe of Manasseh. Verse 8. With whom the Reubenites and the Gadites have received their inheritance, which Moses gave them beyond Jordan eastward, even as Moses the servant of the Lord gave them. Verse 9. From Aroer that is upon the bank of the river Arnon, and the city that is in the midst of the river, and all the plain of Medeba unto Dibon. Verse 10. And all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, which reigned in Heshbon, unto the border of the children of Ammon. Verse 11. And Gilead, and the border of the Geshurites, and Maacathites, and all Mount Hermon, and all Bashan unto Salcah. Verse 12. All the kingdom of Og and Bashan, which reigned in Ashtaroth and in Edrei, who remained of the remnant of the giants, for these did Moses smite and cast them out. Verse 13. Nevertheless, the children of Israel expelled not the Geshurites, nor the Maacathites, but the Geshurites and the Maacathites dwell among the Israelites unto this day. Translation, verse 1 through 13. Regarding Joshua's growing old, and so much more of the land had to be conquered. When Joshua was an old man, and the Lord said to him, quote, "You're growing old, and much land remains to be conquered." Verse 2. The people still need to occupy the land of the Philistines and the Geshurites. Verse 3. Territory that belongs to the Canaanites. This land extends from the stream of Sihor, which is on the boundary of Egypt, northward to the boundary of Ekron. Verse 4. And includes the five Philistine cities of Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. The land of the Avites in the south also remains to be conquered. In the north, this area has not yet been conquered. All the land of the Canaanites, including Meara, which belongs to the Sidonians, stretching northward to Aphek on the border of the Amorites. Verse 5. The land of the Jebelites and all of the Lebanon mountain area to the east, from Baal Gad beneath Mount Hermon to Lebo Hanath. Verse 6. And all the hill country from Lebanon to Mizrephoth Maim, including all the land of the Sidonians. I will drive these people out of the land for the Israelites. So be sure to give this land to Israel as a special possession, just as I have commanded you. Verse 7. Include all this territory as Israel's inheritance when you divide the land among the nine tribes and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Unquote. The land divided east of the Jordan. Verse 8. Half the tribe of Manasseh and the tribe of Reuben and Gad had already received their inheritance on the east side of the Jordan, for Moses, the servant of the Lord, had previously assigned this land to them. Verse 9. Their territory extended from Aroer on the edge of the Arnon Gorge, including the town in the middle of the gorge, to the plain beyond Medeba as far as Gibeon. Verse 10. They also included all the towns of King Sihon of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, and extended as far as the borders of Ammon. Verse 11. They included Gilead, the territory of the kingdoms of Geshur and Maacah, all of the Mount Hermon, all of Bashan as far as Salcah. Verse 12. And all the territory of King Og of Bashan, who had reigned in Ashtaroth and Edrei. King Og was the last of the Rephaites, for Moses had attacked them and driven them out. Verse 13. But the Israelites failed to drive out the people Geshur and Maacah, so they continue to live among the Israelites to this day. King James Version, verse 14. Only unto the tribe of Levi he gave none inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel, made by fire, are their inheritance, as he said unto them. Verse 15. And Moses gave unto the tribe of the children of Reuben inheritance according to their families. Verse 16. And their coast was from Aroer, that is on the bank of the river Arnon, and the city that is in the midst of the river, and all the plain of Medeba.
Verse 17, Heshbon and all her cities that are in the plain, Dibon and Baal-moth-Baal, and Beth-Baal-Meon. Verse 18, and Jahaza and Kedemoth and Mephaath. Verse 19, and Kirjathaim and Sibma and Zareth-Shahar in the mount of the valley. Verse 20, and Beth Peor and Asdoth Pisgah and Beth Jeshimoth. Verse 21, and all the cities of the plain, and all the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, which reigned in Heshbon, whom Moses smote with the princes of Midian, Evi, Rechem, and Zur, and Hur, and Reba, which were dukes of Sihon, dwelling in the country. Verse 22. Balaam also the son of Beor, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them. Verse 23. And the border of the children of Reuben was Jordan, and the border thereof. This was the inheritance of the children of Reuben after their families, the cities and the villages thereof. Translation, verse 14 through 23. The tribe of Levi's inheritance. Moses did not assign any land to the tribe of Levi. Instead, as the Lord had promised them, their inheritance came from the offering burned on the altar to the Lord, the God of Israel. The land given to the Reubenites, the tribe of Reuben. Verse 15. Moses had assigned the following area to the families of the tribe of Reuben. Verse 16. Their territory extended from Aroer on the edge of the Arnon Gorge, including the town in the middle of the gorge, to the plain beyond Medeba. Verse 17. It included Heshbon and the other towns on the plain, Dibon, Baal-moth-Baal, Beth-Baal-Meon. Verse 18. Jahaz-Kedemoth, Mephath. Verse 19. Kiriathaim, Sibma, Zareth-Shahar, on the hill above the valley. Verse 20. Beth-Peor, the slopes of Pisgah, and Beth-Jeshimoth. Verse 21. The land of Reuben also included all the towns of the plain in the entire kingdom of Sihon. Sihon was the Amorite king who had reigned in Heshbon and was killed by Moses, along with the chiefs of Midian, Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, princes living in the region who were allied with Sihon. Verse 22. The Israelites also killed Balaam the magician, the son of Beor. Verse 23. The Jordan River marked the western boundary for the tribe of Reuben. The towns and villages in this area were given as an inheritance to the families of the tribe of Reuben. King James Version, verse 24. And Moses gave inheritance unto the tribe of Gad, even unto the children of Gad according to their families. Verse 25. And their coast was Jazer, and all the cities of Gilead, and half the land of the children of Ammon, unto Aroer, that is, before Reba. Verse 26. And from Heshbon unto Ramath-Mizpeh, and Bet-Onim, and from Mahanaim unto the border of Debir. Verse 27. And in the valley, Beth-Aram, and Beth-Nimrah, and Sukkoth, and Zaphon, the rest of the kingdom of Sihon, king of Heshbon, Jordan and his border, even unto the edge of the sea of Kinneret, on the other side Jordan eastward.
Israelites are pretty laid-back people, you know. When they did exactly what the Lord said and got rid of all the people, in other words, that's the same paralleling today as preaching the gospel to every city, you conquer that city because the people start believing in the Lord. The reason people are believing in Satan and doing satanic things is that because it's simple, because people are not preaching the gospel, because the gospel is stronger, more powerful, more sharper than any two-edged sword, even the sword of the one-world government, the one-world church. cult and the media. It's much more powerful than that. And so all we'd have, if you'd have confidence enough in the Word of God to go in and conquer cities with it, they would be conquered. But all the troubles came to Israel because of the fact that they did not go and take these cities over. As I said before, in the Old Testament, they were allowed to kill them. But in the New Testament, we are not allowed to use carnal weapons whatsoever. We are to preach the gospel. And the Lord wants us to see how powerful His word is that will actually bring people to repentance. It actually kills the devil in them. And not every person has faith, the Bible says. It says that every man has been given a portion of faith, but every person, there's a lot of people that have rejected it, so they don't have the faith. In other words, if you're in a soup line, and I'm giving you bowls of soup, doling it out to everybody, and you come up to me and you don't hold your bowl out, amen, or you hold your bowl out and I fill it full and you throw the soup on the ground, so you wouldn't have any soup, right? And that's the same way it is. All men do not have faith. They had it, but they don't use it. They threw it out. Okay, then what? Do you get the parable?
Yeah.
All right, then what?
Verse 28. This is the inheritance of the children of Gad after their families, the cities, and their villages. Verse 29. And Moses gave inheritance unto the half-tribe of Manasseh, and this was the possession of the half-tribe of the children of Manasseh by their families. Verse 30. And their coast was from Mahanaim, all Bashan, all the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and all the towns of Jair, which are in Bashan, 70 cities. Verse 31. And half Gilead, and Ashtaroth, and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan, were pertaining unto the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, even to the one half of the children of Machir, by their families. Verse 32. These are the countries which Moses did distribute for inheritance in the plains of Moab, on the other side Jordan, by Jericho eastward. Verse 33. But unto the tribe of Levi Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them.
Okay, that was verse 33 of the chapter 13 in Joshua. And now we have some commentary.
Translation.
Well, we still have the translation. Okay.
The land given to the tribe of Gad. Verse 24. Moses had assigned the following area to the families of the tribe of Gad. Verse 25. Their territory includes Jazer, all the towns of Gilead, and half of the land of Ammon, as far as the town of Aroer, just west of Rabbah. Verse 26. It extended from Heshbon to Ramath Mizpeh in Betonim, and from Mahanaim to Lodabar. Verse 27. In the valley were Beth Haran, Beth Nimra, Sukkoth, Zaphon, and the rest of the kingdom of King Sihon at Heshbon. The Jordan River makes the western border, extending as far north as the Sea of Galilee. Verse 28. The towns and villages in this area were given as an inheritance to the families of the tribe of Gad, the land given to the half-tribe of Manasseh. Verse 29. Moses had assigned the following area to the families of the half-tribe of Manasseh. Verse 30. Their territory extended from Mahanaim, including all of Bashan, all the former kingdom of King Og, and the 60 towns of Jair and Bashan. Verse 31. It also included half of Gilead and King Og's royal cities of Ashtaroth and Edrei. All this was given to the descendants of Machir, who was Manasseh's son. Verse 32. These are the allotments Moses had made while he was on the plains of Moab, across the Jordan River, east of Jericho. Verse 33. But Moses gave no land to the tribe of Levi, for the Lord, the God of Israel, had promised to be their inheritance.
All right, that was chapter 33, chapter 13, verse with 33 verses of Joshua, chapter 13, and now we have commentary.
13 verse 1 through chapter 21 verse 45. in ancient Israel, in Hebrew society, real estate was owned not by individuals, but by the family. And because of the fact that the land was given by God, it was to remain in the families and could not pass from one tribe or one family into another. Mosaic law provides specific rules regarding the right of inheritance and the birthright. Legal wills and contracts were unnecessary to designate ownership, but family genealogies were carefully preserved. These chapters reflect that. 13 verse 1 through 7. These verses introduce the next division in the book. Possessing the land for over 40 years, Israel had been a homeless people, but now they were about to receive their inheritance. So the one who wrote the book, Joshua, didn't spare any detail in describing it. 13 verse 1. To be possessed. God gave Joshua the task of allocating to the remaining 9 1/2 tribes the land they were to occupy west of the Jordan River. 13 verse 2. The land that yet remains was territory that had so far been unconquered. It extended from north to Damascus to the Egyptian border. The tribes were to occupy the conquered land and extend their conquest into these outer regions. 13 verse 8 through 12. This is a general description of the conquered land, territories east of the Jordan River. This land had already been divided among the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. 13 verse 14 through 33. According to Numbers chapter 18 verse 20, the tribe of Levi received no allotment of land. Their inheritance was a share of the sacrifices offered to the Lord. They were to be supported by all the tribes. Deuteronomy 18 verse 1 through 8. 13 verse 15 through 23. Reuben was given the southern portion to the border of Moab. 13 verse 24 through 28. Gad was given the land of Gilead in the central area. 13 verse 29 through 33. Half the tribe of Manasseh was given the land of Bashan in the north. 13 verse 8 through 13. As we move from south to north on the east side of the Jordan River, the territories inherited by the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh are listed. However, Israel failed to trust God's sufficiency to drive out the people of Geshur and Maacah. Even though we attempt to blame God when things don't turn out, we must look first at where our faith is, because if we try blaming God, it's because our faith has failed rather than God. Whether we think God has failed, God never fails. 13 verse 15 through 32. So no one could mistakenly believe that God did not give the tribes east of the Jordan an inheritance equal to that of tribes living in the Promised Land, a detailed listing of the territories gathered to the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh is offered here. Even though these tribes were physically separated from their fellow Israelites west of the Jordan, they were not to be separated spiritually. In discouraging times when we see only problems, it's helpful to make a detailed list of what God has provided for each and every one of us. As we become aware of our many gifts from God, it becomes more and more difficult to be disheartened over temporary inconveniences. Our God, who provided the blessings of yesterday, is there for us today and forever, if we continue on in His Word.
Yeah, continuing in His Word means that we do support one another. And, you know, when the Lord stated that we must love one another, love the brethren, and ask for, and if a person asks us for forgiveness, we forgive them 7 times 70. That's when the disciples, you know, it wasn't any big thing for them to believe that He was the Son of God and to believe that he could raise the dead and that he could lay hands on people and cast out, or speak the word and cast out devils. They had plenty of faith to believe those things. But when he said that you have to love one another and to forgive one another, that's where they said, Lord, help our faith. Give us more faith, because that's the hardest thing to do. That's the hardest part of Christianity. That is charity. Is the most powerful thing that we have from the Word of God. Lord, help our faith to be able to be concerned. We have people come into the church and they'll say, "I just got healed," and they said that over in the church here in near the Texarkana area, they said some of the brothers were just sitting around, and this black lady came in and says, "I'm healed. I just got healed from the Lord. The sisters prayed for me." And they were just slumped over and just didn't say, "Well, praise the Lord," or "Thank you, Jesus," you know, or anything like that. It literally looked like a bunch of zombies. These people don't have the faith to believe what Jesus said. It says when we rejoice, when someone is rejoicing about something that God did, if you're a person that loves the Lord and you are amazed at his miraculous, of the things that he does, you should be, I mean, if you have any God in you, you should be praising and thanking the Lord with the woman, to be glad that she got healed. If you had cancer and you were just ready to die, and the Lord miraculously healed you, would you like it if a bunch of people, brothers and sisters sitting around you, came and says, "Praise the Lord, I've just been healed from my cancer," and they just said, yeah. I mean, you know, you don't act. It's like the presence of the Lord doesn't seem to be there. And this runs a lot of people off from a church, you know, if they just don't believe in healing, or they don't rejoice with people, or they, it's like it says in the Bible, a widow woman lost this piece of silver, and then she found it, and all the neighbors rejoiced with her. Amen?
Yeah.
And you're supposed to rejoice with people when they are happy, and that the Lord has done something for them, and mourn with them when something goes wrong, and pray for them, pray for one another. Lord, help our faith. Help our faith, because this is real Christianity, which so many people in the world fall short of. They love to mock people and to call everybody stupid and call them names and everything. It's like, again, also, it was reported to me today that Terry, the wife of Sanford, was in the church, and this one woman was, Linda King was just moving back and forth in prayer, which I've seen almost everybody in the church do, and she went over to her and said, "People do that in nut houses." I mean, what in the world is that for? That's why Terry has been asked to not be around Christians anymore, because it's just one unloving type statement after the other like that. And I think these people, Waddles was in, or who was some of the people that she said were in the church at the time when the woman was saying, "Praise the Lord, you know, I got healed," and they just looked at her like she was from Mars or something. Like, they just, "What strange thing are you? You know, you people, pray, you know, you're supposed to have faith in the Word of God and do what he says." Okay, now, if you're not being blessed, blessings come provided in provision of that you do what the Lord says. There's no trace of Christianity in anyone if you don't believe even in miracles and are not rejoicing that a great miracle like this has happened and healed this person. And so this is why I've asked Terry not to go over to the church and not to go over to the gym. She's just not fit yet to be around Christians. And like, she's old enough, she's been around long enough, over 30 years now, to where she can take a she should be able to take a rebuke like this without going into a tailspin. And if she does, well then, well, why, who is she to be pulling people up and telling them that moving back and forth with slightly while you're praying is the things that people do in the nut house? Well, if they do that in the nut house, well, then this must be the nut house, because I've seen that happen many times, hundreds of times in our church. Amen?
Amen.
And here's the scripture in regard to the apostles asking Lord to increase our faith when he told them that they had to forgive one another. Okay, can you read that? Where is that located now?
Luke chapter 17, verse 3 through 5.
Okay, go ahead and read it.
Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Verse 4. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith.
Yeah, my God, how are we going to be able to do that? Give us so much faith that we love one another. Amen?
Amen.
Enough to forgive each other. Amen?
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Well, this is Tony Alamo, and that was chapter 13 of Joshua. And until chapter 14, God bless you and praise the Lord.